There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to The Grill, broadcasting from Barasta. We're up here on the rooftop garden and we have got 3 hours of sport for you between now and the end of play. We're with you through till 7 o'clock. What have we got for you? Watford against Liverpool live at 7 o'clock, and also Spurs against Chelsea a little later on. There is plenty to keep us entertained between now and then. Eibar against Real Madrid has just kicked off. We've got Udinese against Roma kick off at 6 o'clock. Hamilton against Celtic and Rotherham against Sheffield United in the Scottish Prem and the Championship respectively between now and then. All sorts of internationals, rugby internationals to look forward to. They kick off from 6 p.m. this evening. There's also Gallagher Premiership action from 5 p.m. Guinness Pro 14 and Top 14. There's cricket aplenty, a couple of test matches being played around the world, T10 right here in the UAE as well. There's World Cup of Golf in Melbourne and a small matter of golf over in Las Vegas to talk about. Plus, we'll have regular updates from the Formula One Grand Prix qualifying down in Abu Dhabi. Lot therefore to get involved in, lot to get through, so do send us your thoughts and text us now on 4001.
Oh, it's a fabulous goal!
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, with more sport, the latest headlines, and top debate on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Text us on 4001, have your say at Dubai Eye Sport, or get yourself down here to Barasti Beach, at Barasti Beach, if you are around and about, and if you like your sport, then get yourself here, because the game is always on at Barasti. Lots, therefore, to talk about. Who's going to talk about it with us? We're going to be joined by a number of guests on the phone, live down here at Barasti, but our two panellists who have the responsibility of guiding you through the murky waters of international sport today. Ross Christ is alongside me. Good to have you on board, Christo.
Thanks for having me here, Tom. Great day down here at Barasti. Phenomenal weather. If you're listening right now, come on down here and join us. We have plenty of guests coming. I guess the last time we talked, Tom, we were talking a little bit about this Barmy army you were telling me about.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, well, they took over the island of Sri Lanka in Batarangke International Airport last weekend, and I caught up with a few of these
Brilliant guys.
Boy, I'm some of them still might be in the airport because they might not have let them on the plane outside the island, but it was phenomenal for, I guess, for England as well to come on down there into Sri Lanka and win the test. So it was good to be in the country for that. But happy Thanksgiving for all my American friends here and abroad, I guess. It's been a great holiday here. I went and celebrated on Thursday night, and I watched the three NFL games that we always get to watch on Thanksgiving Day. It was great. Growing up, we only had two. Nowadays, we have three on Thanksgiving Day. We have the NBA in full swing, and we have two legends meeting in the ring tonight, in the octagon tonight. Tito Ortiz, Chuck Liddell, both coming out of retirement, both rolling out of their graves, and they're going to meet in the ring. While these two might be old, there's no love lost between the two of them, so I'm looking forward to this big fight tonight back home.
Looking forward to that indeed. Ross Christ is with us, as is Mr. Chris McCarty as well. McDangerous, it's a packed old... last weekend wasn't a huge amount of live sport, what with the internationals and, of course, the UEFA Nations Cup. Today, well, it's all changed. There's plenty going on.
There's so much going on, Tom. Yes, very good afternoon to you and to the listeners as well. And, so much going on from a club football perspective. Some real good games to look forward to, not just in the Premier League, of course, which will be our main focus, across Europe as well. Atletico Madrid taking on Barcelona a little later this evening, and let us not forget the big clash over in Argentina as well. The country, a continent, will come to a standstill a little later tonight for the second leg of the Copa Libertadores final between River Plate and Boca Juniors. 2-2 from the first leg. Cannot wait for that midnight kickoff here in the UAE. I'll be heading home, I'm sure, after the Tottenham Chelsea game to get my front row seat on the sofa to watch that one. It is going to be absolutely bonkers. So yes, plenty to look forward to down in the capital with the Etihad Airways Abu Dhabi Grand Prix as well, and cricket, golf to discuss, but I'm just happy club football has returned, Tom. Not only that, as a Scotsman, I'm celebrating two wins in the international break as well. A 4-0 win against Albania, followed that up with a home victory in their second match. Delighted. It's a good time to be a Scottish football fan.
Indeed it is, and we've got Hamilton against Celtic for you from 4:30 as well. Give you team news on that one as and when we get it. Spurs-Chelsea, why are we getting excited about Spurs-Chelsea?
It's the late kickoff. It's a 9:30 game, so I'm sure Barasti will be absolutely bouncing for it, and it's a derby, right? And when you've had a couple of weeks off club football, whenever you always look, right, what's the big game of that weekend? And Spurs-Chelsea undoubtedly is that. Another test of Spurs title credentials. A lot of people might scoff at the mere mention of Tottenham. with title credentials, but they are there or thereabouts. They've quietly gone about their business this season. They ended their hoodoo at Old Trafford, that 3-0 win against Manchester United. Okay, they were beaten by Liverpool at Wembley. This another test for Spurs and Chelsea. Well, what a start to his managerial reign for Maurizio Sarri. They have been a breath of fresh air, they really have, and they're making this a three-way title race. City, Liverpool and Chelsea, and if they can go to Wembley this evening and win, then that will just underline why they genuinely should be seen as title challengers.
Interesting as well, isn't it? Because we sit here on a Saturday and we talk about the feature games from our colleagues back in London, TalkSport, who bring the live commentary as well. They've gone with Watford-Liverpool as their go-to game this afternoon, which is interesting given the fact that some of the other big guns are in action as well. But I suppose that's indicative of just what a good start to the season Watford have had.
Yeah, absolutely.
And of course, Liverpool being, well, Liverpool being the team to beat in the tournament.
Yeah, that, and I'm sure maybe one or two of the bosses took heed of our little mick-taking a couple of weeks ago, Tom. It seemed seemingly it was West Ham every single night or weekend, should I say, and West Ham taking on Manchester City in another 7 p.m. kickoff. That, to me, would be the natural game with which you would feature, but you're absolutely right. Watford have been very good at the start of this campaign. Yeah. They've shocked one or two, and they're going to give Liverpool a good game tonight. Coming off the international break, I've got a fancy for Watford. This a real test of Liverpool. Are they capable, after an international break, to go to a side that are high-flying, full of confidence and grind out a result? That will be a big test for them tonight. I do think Watford will get something out of this one, so you can understand why it's been penciled in by the TalkSport boys, because it should be a good game. I expect there to be goals, and you're absolutely right, Liverpool this season have got the bit between their teeth, and you know, Jurgen Klopp hoping to end what would be, come May next year, 29-year wait for the top title.
And let's see how those Liverpool boys have bounced back from their time in the UAE as well. A number of them down there at the Gulf last weekend.
Yeah, James Milner and Adam Lallana in town, of course. James Milner retired from international duty. Adam Lallana, he's had his injury problems all season. Gareth Southgate made the decision to leave him out of his England squad and was vindicated for that. I mean, England right now, I'm sure we will maybe discuss them a little later. They are just on an upward curve, and you know, I make them genuine favourites now to win that UEFA Nations League. They are. If I was an England fan, I'd be absolutely excited with what he is doing at that team, with that team. So Lallana had a few days off. They both love their golf. What better way to spend it? Sun shining in Dubai, down at the Jumeirah Golf Estates.
Talking of golf, can I get your thoughts on an event that took place overnight? Lots of hype about this one. Was it all a bit of a farce? Let's get the thoughts of the boys. I'm talking, of course, about this duel in the desert between Phil Mickelson and a certain Tiger Woods. It was Mickelson who claimed the $9 million winner takes all prize in dramatic duel with Tiger Woods, which finished under floodlights in Las Vegas. The match play between the two Americans went to a 22nd hole before Mickelson, at 48 years old, sunk a 4-foot putt for victory. Did you stay up and watch this one, Ross Christ?
Well, no, I'm not going to lie to you, I didn't. Because, well, one, if you tried to order it, it would have crashed. The online ordering system for this had a little bit of an issue for this. They were trying to sell this for $19.99, titling the match, and well, the website crashed right at the start of the match. So halfway through the match, they decided to leave the rest of the match for free. And by this time, I was already in bed.
Really?
I just think when I was just watching, I guess, the highlights and everything I can read from all the golf pundits, kind of seemed like a bit of a disappointment out there in the desert. And it just kind of seemed like two guys that weren't even close to their best day. They were both playing sea level golf, if I had to give them a grade. And what is it, kind of all a farce? You saw Phil there. Tiger had a 5.5-foot putt. And Phil gave it to him and said, let's keep playing on. I don't want to win like this, which, you know, you tip your hat to that. But is that real golf? I don't know. And, you know, both these guys just kind of seem like they both, you hate to use the word has-beens, but it just seems like they rolled out two has-beens out there and had them go at it. $9 million, I would say this would be a failure. I really would.
Neither need the money. And the fact that, you know, that's sort of very gaudy, it sort of struck me of that. Do you remember that series, the cricket series down in the West Indies?
Yeah, there's the guy who's in prison.
Alan Stanford. I remember putting the $1 million out and showing everyone what it looks like and things like that. They did that here as well with all the dollars and a sort of big palette
kind
as well.
Like,
I mean, really?
Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah. That's it.
Except Phil Mickelson. Mickelson's doing it. You got like a father of three up there.
A blue collar American.
KPMG hat, a pop collar. It just looked funny. It just seemed out of place, out of character for both of them. I guess I will tip their hats for it, for going outside the traditional realms of a sport that generally just follows tradition. So, I mean, that's good to see golf trying to break down kind of different types of barriers like that. But, yeah, I hope the next one's more exciting. If we're going to do these type of dual type of things where we see – it seems like this is also kind of a trend in sport. We're bringing back these older guys and putting them back in the sport. We're looking at this Chuck Liddell, Tito Ortiz fight that we'll talk about later. We look at some of these, you know, Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather coming back. It seems like there's a growing trend in sport to bring has-been guys close to retirement, guys that have been retired, throwing them back in there and expecting to see the same exact product, but we're all still buying it.
Two schools of thought on this one, and I'll get your thoughts in just a few moments' time. Some feeling it was pointless, indulgent, excessive, an exercise which only served to make two very wealthy men even wealthier as well. Others believing, no, action fact, it's fun, it's entertaining, it's a way of showcasing the sport to a different audience.
I'm on the first, and actually, fact, I've had a lot of time to mull over this, Tom. It is indulgent. It is essentially, you know, and each to their own on this. They can do what they want. Obviously, there's interest there. The TV directors, TV producers, the networks over there in the States clearly felt there was enough interest in it. But it strikes me as just being a couple of CEOs or a group of individuals who want to rub shoulders with Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson. They throw in the cash, and then they try and make it. They try and make it something that's not going to be laughed at. I thought it was, to echo what Ross has said, I've only read this morning, I saw one or two shots, so it was late into the night, but they are two players, and Tiger still, as I like to say, moves the needle. Of course he does. There's no golfer on this planet that can do what Tiger Woods does. In the case of Phil Mickelson, his form in the last 12 months, he is on the downward slope. He's 48 years of age now, for goodness sake, but massively for me, didn't do anything. Would I have paid the 100 dirhams, the 19.99 for it? Not a chance. And the people that I spoke to were in exactly the same boat. They'll wait for it to happen, then they'll read about it, they'll watch the highlights, they'll see if there was any great shots, and apparently I think Tiger chipped in on the 7th or 8th, there was one that he chipped in for. Other than that, Tom, there was zero fireworks. Two guys, legends in their sport, take nothing away from them, but they're into the twilight now of their career, looking to make a buck.
And the final hole, their tiebreaker hole, was 98 yards. It's like you have two guys, two grown men out there playing almost mini golf. I mean, why would you have a hole that's 98 yards long? That's not even a regulation size hole. So I just didn't like how it ended as well. It just seemed like a poor ending for two great players.
Let's just go over to La Liga, because there is an early kickoff over there, an early kickoff of interest, because it is one of the most supported teams in the world. Real Madrid, they are in action against Eibar at the moment. What's the latest from there, Chris?
Yeah, I can tell you, 18 minutes on the clock. It's Eibar 1, Real Madrid 0. Some confusion as to whether this goal will stand, because the VAR boys are getting involved in this one. It is calamitous at the back for Real Madrid. Not the first time I've said that this season. Thibaut Courtois makes an incredible save. He really does, from point blank range. The defender, I think it's Ardiazola, the right back at the back post, just can't sort his feet out, can't get the ball clear. It ends up ricocheting off an Eibar player and into the back of the net. Of course, this, the first game that Santiago Solari has, he is now the permanent boss, his first game as permanent manager of Real Madrid. He's won four in his four games as caretaker boss, the first manager in Real Madrid's 116-year history to do that. But they are a goal behind. The goal stands. It is Eibar 1, Real Madrid 0. This then, I guess, the first test of Santiago Solari's tenure.
Welcome. 18
minutes in.
Santi. Enjoy.
Yeah, the caretaker malarkey's fine, but you're now permanent boss. You've got a 2.5-year deal. Make it work. So, yeah, a bit of pressure on Real Madrid already.
We will keep an eye on that one for you. And, of course, we'll give you some team news ahead of the early kickoff up in Scotland as well. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're down to the Yas Marina circuit to get all the latest on the Formula One Grand Prix. Qualifying gets underway in around about 45 minutes' time. We've got Danny Norton down there for us throughout the afternoon. He'll keep us updated.
This is The Grill. Get involved with the show. Text 4001 or message us for free on the Dubai Eye Messenger app.
Let's just quickly have a quick catch up with what's going on in the football. There is an early kickoff for you over in Spain. What's the latest, Chris?
Yeah, midway through the first half, Tom, it remains Eibar 1, Real Madrid 0. Gonzalo Escalante with the opening goal for Eibar. And I've got to say, from the action that I'm watching, Eibar very much on the front foot. They're not being covered by the big boys of Madrid, because, they are in front and they look comfortable at this stage as well. Santiago Solari's first game as the new permanent manager of Real Madrid. He won 4-4, let us not forget, as caretaker boss, but he's got a bit to do here. 22 minutes on the clock. It's Eibar 1, Real Madrid 0.
Right, it's time for us to get down the road and get the latest from the Grand Prix.
From Yas Marina Circuit.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.
Live from the Formula One 2018 Etihad Airways Abu Dhabi Grand Prix.
Swipe up to unlock all of the on-track, off-track and after-race action of the 10th edition of the hashtag Abu Dhabi GP.
Our man Danny Norton is live down there at the Yas Marina Circuit at the moment. Dan, when is qualifying taking place today?
Well, qualifying gets underway, Tom, in around about 35 minutes time, 5 o'clock until 6 o'clock. Is the schedule for the qualifying today. Apologies if I might be a little bit distracted on our chat here, because there is a quite remarkable air show going on at the moment. Really quite spectacular, with a lot of fighter jets. One that's just been literally going up into the air almost vertically, spiraling its way up, stopping, causing quite a few people here to kind of scream in shock, thinking it was about to fall towards the ground. But no, it's all part of the show, of course. And really incredible stuff here. They've actually just gone by now with the colours of the UAE flag there. So remarkable stuff going on down here. But yes, getting back to the action, the qualifying does get underway in just over half an hour, after a final practice session that finished around about 25 minutes ago, in which Lewis Hamilton bounced back from what he described as a pretty shocking practice yesterday. He was the fastest in the third free practice that finished not too long ago, ahead of the Ferrari pair of Kimi Raikkonen and Sebastian Vettel, with Max Verstappen coming in fourth and Valtteri Bottas fifth. Daniel Ricciardo was sixth fastest. However, he did have to stop with around about 5 minutes of the practice remaining, because there's a bit of a problem with his engine at the moment. So that's going to be causing the Red Bull team all sorts of issues over the next half an hour or so before the qualifying really kicks in.
And Danny, you've been rubbing shoulders with the great and the good of yesteryear in Formula One. I know Damon Hill's been down there. Nico Rosberg is there in his role as a pundit. Anyone else that you've spotted? And with regards to Damon and Nico, you have a chat with those two?
Well, I did speak to Damon earlier on. Yes, absolutely. He was very much looking forward to the action this weekend. Obviously, it's a shame, really, there's not a lot to race for on the track itself. But, you know, he did say to me, these guys are at the top of their game because they are so competitive, so there'll always be that competitiveness there no matter what they're doing. They could be racing Scaletric and they'd still be really getting involved in it. And actually, mentioning that, funny enough, you mentioned Nico Rosberg, who did see as well. He was taking part in this reaction challenge that they've got here at Yas Marina Circuit, which basically tests to see how quick you are off the mark when the lights go out and the Grand Prix gets underway. And it's funny, because he was a bit too eager, and he actually kind of had what you call a false start, if we're going to be talking athletics at least anyway. And he was like, no, I didn't touch it, I insist, I'm going to go again. So obviously, even though he's been out of the sport for 2 years since becoming the world champion right here in Abu Dhabi in 2016, he's obviously still got that competitive streak there that really brings them to the top. But obviously, a lot of celebrities here at the moment, and certainly rumoured to be popping down here. I think Princess Charlene of Monaco, she's due to arrive later on this evening. Apparently she's going to be greeted by Charles Leclerc, the driver who we spoke to a couple of days ago as well. The New Zealand Rugby Sevens team, they're in town, obviously ahead of the Emirates Airline Dubai Rugby Sevens next weekend. They're going to be turning up here later on as well, apparently. Also had the likes of Eddie Jordan and many other F1 luminaries who've been hanging around the pit lane earlier on.
What about attendance, Danny? We know that the World Championship has already been wrapped up. Lewis Hamilton, a five-time F1 champion. Has that been reflected in the attendances? Are an awful lot of people still heading on down to Yas Island?
Well, I haven't got exact figures for you, but what I can say is that the weekend is sold out, essentially. So all the grandstand tickets were sold out, I think, earlier this week. The last few ones were gone for there. And certainly, it was impressive enough on Thursday, when there wasn't actually any proper action taking place, with the amount of people who were coming through the gates here. And obviously, as you would expect here for Saturday, for qualifying day, it is absolutely rammed. And there's a really wonderful atmosphere as well. People really kind of enjoying it, soaking it all in. There's so much to do here, especially in the Formula One Village, which we are smack bang in the middle of. So do come along to our ALRM Dubai Eye 103.8 booth to say hello. It's a really fantastic atmosphere. A lot of people just like really getting involved with everything that you can do down here.
Danny, we have later tonight, it's not all about the racing, it is the concerts after the race. Many people just head down to the concert. Will you be heading into tonight to seeing Mr. Sam Smith, I believe?
Oh, you know, I'm torn here, you know, really am, because, you know, like you say, this is one of music's biggest stars, one of Britain's biggest pop stars in Sam Smith here, but my beloved Liverpool kick off at 7 o'clock as well, so just after qualifying, so I'm torn between trying to catch that and maybe going down to the concert there. But like you say, it's not just about the action on the track. As much as anything else here at Yas Marina Circuit, they really put a lot of emphasis in catering to everyone, to all ages, all types of people. Whether you're into the Formula One or not, there is something here for you, whether it's the activities here or the music. And what a wide range of music we've had as well. Post Malone on Thursday night, The Weeknd last night, Sam Smith tonight, and then the Guns N' Roses tomorrow night. I mean, what a way to wrap up the weekend.
Liverpool against Watford is our feature game live here on Dubai Winner 3.8 from 7 o'clock. So if you want to listen to it on the way back, Dan, you've got it. We got you covered. Are you confident of 3 points away from home today?
Well, I'd have to say yes, considering I think we should beat them because we do have the better team by far. But we saw our trip to Vicarage Road last season, which ended in a 3-3 draw. I think it was on the first day of the season, with a last minute equaliser that we conceded. So I think it's always a bit of an exciting game between Liverpool and Watford at Vicarage Road. But certainly, if we want to be Premier League champions, if we want to keep up with Manchester City there, then this is the kind of game that we really do have to win.
Daniel Norton, have more from you throughout the remainder of the next few hours. But just in terms of marking our card, qualifying getting underway at 5 o'clock, and we're expecting to know who's on pole by 6, is that right?
That's absolutely correct, yes. We'll have all the latest for you over the next few hours.
Looking forward to it. Danny Norton live from the Yas Marina Circuit.
From the Formula One 2018 Etihad Airways Abu Dhabi Grand Prix.
Swipe up to unlock all of the on-track, off-track and after-race action of the 10th edition of the hashtag Abu Dhabi GP.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8, live on location. This is The Grill. Get involved with the show. Text 4001 or message us for free on the Dubai Eye Messenger app.
I was just thinking about that. Who's going to be the biggest talk of the track over the next couple of days down in Abu Dhabi? Is it going to be Lewis Hamilton, given the fact that he's going to be crowned the champion, or is it going to be Alonso?
Alonso. Title's been done and dusted for a couple of weeks. I think Fernando Alonso, honestly, Tom, this will be his 312th Grand Prix, if memory serves me correct. He's a two-time world champion. He is bowing out. He is off to try and become only the second man to win the triple crown in motorsport. That's the Formula One Grand Prix victory in Monaco, the Le Mans 24 Hours, and then the Indy 500. Only Graham Hill, father of Damon Hill, has done it in history. He's off to do that. Reading between the lines, he says he's not closing the door to F1. But one or two people I've spoke to, I think Fernando Alonso, the ship has sailed with him. He has made some terrible decisions. He's been unlucky at certain times as well. But when you consider his last world championship, what was it, 2005 and 2006, 25 years of age he was. You know, he's now 37. Yeah. And it's just passed him by, F1. He made decisions. He fell out with Lewis Hamilton and Ron Dennis at McLaren. When he went to Ferrari, they were on the downward as opposed to, you know, trending in the right direction. He was back at Renault. He's then been at McLaren again. It's just been a mess. And Fernando, I'm sure, he'll look back on a successful career. He's a two-time world champion, for goodness sake. He would probably go down maybe within the top 10, definitely in the top 15 drivers of all time, but when he looks back in his career as an old man, he'll also think what might have been, because there are definitely two world championships, minimum two, were left out there for him. He could have been a four-time world champion.
Getting down there at all, Ross Christo, are you going to head down to the Grand Prix at all?
I'll be honest with you, Tom, I'm going to stay here with you at Barasti. I think, man. I'm going to wait for the United game here at 7 o'clock, watch it nice on the big stream with my friend Chris McCarty. If you guys want to come down and join us, we'll be on the upper deck. Yeah, I've been down there before. I've done it many times. It's just this weekend I actually got caught up with some stuff with the AFL. We kicked off the season this year. So, and then tomorrow night I have some other engagements. But, yeah, just not the year for me. Danny Norton answered the call for us, but I know it's a great weekend. I am gutted that I am going to miss Sam Smith. I value Sam Smith over Guns N' Roses, I think.
Look at that, eh? Look at that. Just turning attention to the world of cricket now, if we can, because we've got Stumps report for you from the third test between England and Sri Lanka over in Colombo. Day two has just come to a conclusion, and England have taken control of the third test with 8 wickets in the final session of day two, as Sri Lanka tamely collapsed in Colombo. The host to reach 173 for 1 in reply to England's 336, but lost 9 wickets for 67 runs to be dismissed for 240. Adil Rashid finished with test best figures of 5 for 49. Ben Stokes claimed 3 for 30. Keaton Jennings took 4 fine catches at short leg. England closed on 3 for naught, leading by 99 runs. So their good form over in Sri Lanka continues. I watched a lot of this yesterday. Johnny Bairstow back in the runs, 100, and obviously had a point to prove.
Yeah, indeed he did. He was batting at number 3, and the first time an English batsman batting at 3 had a century in, I think, 2 or 3 years, Tom. Yeah. Something remarkable. And yeah, you could see in the reaction from Johnny there was some pent up frustration there. We don't know what's been said in the locker room, in the changing room, but I think he was making a point, not just to one or two perhaps fans who have been on Johnny's back certainly recently, but maybe just maybe one or two in the corridors of power, whether that be in the ECB or in the actual changing room, because there was definite emotion there. I'd love to see that though. And Johnny went out then, and it was a proper knock for him. And England, as you say, very much in the ascendancy now. Delighted for Adil Rashid, someone who I think comes in for a little bit of unfair criticism, Tom, but over there in spinning conditions, 5 for 49. Ben Stokes as well, chipping in with 3 wickets. Great to see. And yeah, England right now, I know Joe Root, that century, he was talking it up as being very much his best in an England shirt. I know Michael Vaughan and Nasser Hussain have been talking about this series being the coming of age for Joe Root as England captain. I think it's a first series victory in 17 years over there in Sri Lanka. So to date, they'll be delighted with their work as a Sri Lankan fan. Obviously, nothing to play for but pride, but you'll be disappointed. As you said, 173 for 1. To lose 9 wickets for just 67 is awful. And dinner this evening for the Sri Lankan boys will be tasting that little bit, well, bitter.
Yeah. Johnny Bairstow, yeah, just going back to him and his celebration yesterday, the drop the bat and everything, and all the gloves came off, the barring of the chest, and then just comments that he made afterwards as well. He went live saying there are different things that you go through when you get castigated about being injured, doing X, Y, and Z, and people don't actually see what's gone on. It's all well and good when it's going well and people have an opinion on how well you're playing, but it's the hidden things that they don't see. You've got to deliver when you are asked to do. He said that you get left out of a side when you haven't done much wrong over the past couple of years. All of a sudden you're asked to bat in a role that you haven't done before, so you're learning on the job. You look at the challenges that have been put in front of me as a cricketer, there have been quite a few, and I like to think I have come through the most of them. It's been tough as well. Got it quite emotional. Apparently he's lost a couple of people as well, a lot of close friends in the last couple of weeks, he was saying after that as well, so put the game into perspective for him. But he's, yeah, it's a difficult one for England because there's so much talent there at the moment, and it's like, how do you accommodate all of them in the
that's
team?
That's exactly it, and interesting to hear him say there that he's been moved up to up the order, whether that was his decision or not. Reading between the lines there, it probably wasn't. But he makes a good point, Johnny. You know, we talk about it often, and we're paid to give our opinions, but at the end of the day, I mean, they're the ones that have got to go out there, aren't they? And I often think the sensationalism of media today, you're either the best or you're the worst. There's nothing in between, you know. We often talk about that, and in the case of Johnny, yes, he's had a couple of bad matches, but he hasn't become a bad player overnight, and he's come out yesterday and over this third test, and he's produced the goods yet again, reminding us all what a fine cricketer he is. For him though, it's about consistency, and I think that's what he's calling for there. Yes, he needs to stay fit, and there are reasons why he hasn't been, but he needs a role in that team, and he needs to be backed by the coaching staff, by Joe Root as well. And you know, if he can continue to perform like that, I'm sure he will be able to knock on the captain's door or the coach's door and say, hey, in the form I'm in, I dictate where I play, not the other way around, because I'm one of the guys that is actually putting it in and getting the runs.
Did you get a chance to go down to Kandy to watch any of it or not?
No, I didn't get a chance to go up to Kandy. I was down in Hikkaduwa, but I was flying home on my Emirates flight back home, and I got to sit next to a guy that's part of the Barmy Army. Yeah. He was catching the red eye. He was going right back to Manchester. Interestingly enough, he's a stadium designer and his project's Old Trafford right now.
Really?
So I had a great conversation with this guy, and he told me for the first time in about 10 years, the England lineup is as deep as it's ever been. He cannot remember a time like this. And I brought up Johnny Bairstow, because I know one year you used to be buddies with it. You kick around with this guy, and I said, is he keeping wicket? And he said, no, this folk guy's come in and he's played quite well for him. And I said, well what are you going to do here? Well, who's going to come in and keep 10 wicket for you guys now that he comes back? And he goes, well, that's up to the manager now. It's a good problem we have, but it's the first time I can ever remember that we have such a deep England squad. And it's the first time, I think, in over a dozen years that they've won a multi-day test abroad. So it seems like if you're an English cricket fan, things are on the upwards trend for you right now, isn't it, Tom?
Indeed, yeah. No, it's a good one. And what's nice to see, quite ironic, is that you know, there were times quite recently that England didn't really have a go-to wicketkeeper of note. Now they've got four or five in the same team at the moment. You know, when you've got Owen Morgan, who can keep wicket competently, but we've got Josh Butler, you've got Johnny Bairstow, you've got Ben Foulkes, who's obviously cemented his place in that team as well. Sam Billings on the sidelines as well. He keeps wicket. So, yeah, a nice problem to have. But it's going to be difficult because there are a lot of, you know, very driven young individuals in that team, and being left out of the team, what's that also going to do for the team coach?
Exactly that. And you know better than most, Tom, that the biggest thing for a cricket side more than anything else is continuity and consistency, right? Chopping and changing, I always think, it's not something that you really see in Test cricket, or you do and it doesn't necessarily get your results. Consistency over a 2-year cycle, I think, is vital. So, you know, for Trevor Bayliss, for Paul Farbrace, for Joe Root, they've got to settle quickly. Of course, form plays a part. You're not getting in on merit. You're not getting in just because you want a consistent lineup. You have to back that up with performances. And, you know, the message from the coaching staff need to be, listen, it is the deepest pool we've had. You've all got to perform. And if you don't, you're out. But if we do pick you and you're in form, you want to know that your place, you know, it's your spot. It's kind of goes back to what Johnny Bairstow said, that okay, injuries, etc., but I've performed, I've produced the goods for you. Even if I am out the team and I'm injured, I should feel a little bit of loyalty towards me because I've done it for so many years. I come back, and right now I think they're mixing and matching. They're trying to find the balance of rewarding those young men who are in form, but also remaining loyal to maybe one or two players who have gone through, whether it be in their personal life or in form, one or two little issues in recent months.
We had Owais Shah on last week. He was part of the Grill team, and he was saying exactly that same thing as well. He said, look, he didn't agree with the fact that Johnny had been left out and thought that there should be more of a sort of loyalty thing. He was quite sort of outspoken about it and made the example, you know, say for example Jimmy Anderson was in that role. Do England leave Jimmy Anderson out of a test team when he's fit to come back in if the opportunity arises there? He said that wouldn't happen. So why it should happen with someone like Johnny remains to be seen. But look, it's not the only cricket that's going on at the moment. There is, of course, cricket just down the road here in the UAE. It's the second test between New Zealand and Pakistan. Pakistan are 180 for 4 from 83 overs at the moment. It's the final session of day one of this second test match. Haris Sahail is 66 not out. Babar Azam is the other man at the crease. He's 66. He's 2 not out as we speak. Last man to depart was Asad Shafiq, who was off the bowling of Patel. He went for 12 in the over just being bowled at the moment. So Patel with one wicket, and Trent Bolt also in the attack at the moment. And this after New Zealand's great victory, stunning victory.
Unbelievable.
People say that Test cricket is boring these days, but when you get results like that...
Oh. Fantastic. I mean, that test match, I mean, the text came flooding in and off script during the week, Tom, when we were discussing it. What was it? 7 wickets and 41 runs. Pakistan were home and host. You know, you look at what they did, what they skittled New Zealand out in their first innings for 153. How on earth did they go on to lose that test match? But that, you're right, you're absolutely right. That's the beauty of it. It's the beauty of sport, any sport, but certainly in test cricket, that, you know, momentum swings and it changes quickly, and it did. New Zealand bowlers got on top and they just absolutely strangled the life out of Pakistan. And this is a big test match now, because as we say, Pakistan don't lose test matches here in the UAE very often. They certainly don't lose test series here. Very rarely do we see that, and in actual fact I'm trying to think back to the last time that they did in this part of the world. So yeah, they've got to come out strong. They've done that. 180 for 4 is a solid enough start. They'll look to motor on, get that over 300, and then let their very talented bowling attack loose on what I think is a bit of a brittle New Zealand batting lineup. Take Kane Williamson out of it, and for me I think it's gettable, and I'm sure the Pakistan, Mickey Arthur will have drilled that into his boys. But yeah, this is a big test match, this, after the disappointment and the shock value, if you will, of that first test defeat to the Black Caps.
Two games in the T10 League over in Sharjah as well to look forward to tonight. Sindh taking on Pakhta and BT taking on PL in the late game as well. We've had a few fireworks in the T10, haven't we, in the first couple of games?
It's been absolutely brilliant. We had Paul Radley from the National on the show this week, Tom, and he was just talking about just what a fun format it is. And we were asking the question, you know, is it gimmicky? He's like, no, I don't think it is. You know, what you're seeing is cricket fans who can spare a couple hours out of their evening, popping on down to Sharjah Stadium, and just having fun. Yeah. The wickets are falling. We've seen a few of the bowlers getting hat tricks, which is, you know, very rare. And when they do happen, they obviously make headlines. And we're seeing some of the batsmen just tear it up. We saw one, Mohammad Shahzad, the Afghanistani. I think, what was it, 76, I think it was.
16 balls.
Of 16 balls. I mean, that's incredible hitting. Incredible. And to think as well, it's T10. So that's what, 60 balls, 10 overs. It was over that match, incidentally, that he shot his 76 and 16 balls with six overs to spare. They knocked it off inside four overs. I think it was 96 they reached in just four overs of cricket. I mean, that's bonkers, absolutely bonkers. So, you know, if you love the fun element of cricket, I appreciate we're all traditionalists. We love the Test arena, sitting for hours upon end. You know, we love that style. But if you're a youngster coming into the sport, T10 right now, it's fun, it's over quickly. The players seem to enjoy it, and you're seeing some wonderful spectacle of big hitting as well as some fine bowling as well.
Some good players on show a little later on as well. It's the Sindhis taking on the Pakhtuns down there in the first of the two games. Jofra Archer plays for the Sindhis, the young Sussex fast bowler who I think qualifies for England next year.
Yeah, he said, hasn't he? He's gone on record as saying he wants to play for England, so that'll be another attacking weapon at England's disposal in the next. Is it 12 months, 18 months?
Yeah,
is it 2019? Is it
2019? Yeah. So
okay,
I think
so a month.
Yes, but I think it's after the season. I think he's still got to do a season, one more season with Sussex, and then I think it's after that. So, good youngster. He's rapid, very, very rapid. Took the IPL by storm last year. He's been big. He's been good down at the Big Bash as well. He is part of the Sindhis squad, along the likes of Shane Watson, of course, the captain, the Aussie all-rounder. He's part of that one. Dinesh Ramdin, Dawid Malan of England, Ben Lachlan of Australia. All of those part of the Sindhis squad. As for the Pakhtuns, well, they've got the likes of David Willey. They've also got Liam Dawson, the English slow bowler, and Shahid Afridi as well. So he lines up for them. And, of course, the big man, Mohammad Irfan, the seven-footer from India. Yeah. So a number of players to look out for, a number of world-class players to have a look at if you want to get yourself down there to be part of the action, as Chris was saying. And as Paul Radley's has written some nice pieces about this as well recently, because he's been, you know, he's dished a bit of criticism where it's been deserved and where it's been due, but he's also come back and sort of corrected those the elements he said. And so there was an element, wasn't there, where he sort of said, you know what, I might have said a few things against this, but I'm coming around to it.
And that's exactly it, and I think a lot of people are like that. The people who have been down there, that at first it was like, really, another format for cricket, where on earth is this taking the game? But now people have kind of stepped back. Second year it's been launched, it's not been without its issues, this second edition, but they've not taken, you know, they've not taken the mick, they've not added another 50 games on. They're slowly building it. This is just the second edition of the T10 Cricket League, and as Radar said midweek, he said, you know, yeah, I was a sceptic, but now I take it for what it is. It's wham bam, it's fun, and we're seeing some wonderful cricket and some wonderful shots. And, you know, if you see some young kids getting into the game of cricket, Tom, smiles on their faces, watching these big names, then it can really only be a good thing.
We'll have more from the world of sport in just a few moments' time. We've got an early kickoff over in Spain. We've got an early kickoff in Scotland and an early kickoff in the Championship. We'll give you updates on all three next.
The Grill, live from Barasti, bringing you the biggest sports stories right now.
Right, let's get some of the updates from the football, because we've got three games underway at the moment. Chris McCarthy is trying to keep tabs on all of them.
I am indeed, Tom. Let's start, if we can, over in Spain. It is half-time over there, the early kick-off on this Saturday afternoon. It is Eibar taking on Real Madrid. Real Madrid, an upturn in form since Santiago Solari took the managerial reins from Julian Lopetegui. Four wins from four in all competitions. He was named permanent boss during the international break. What I can tell you, though, he's got a big 15-minute team talk at half-time, because it is Eibar 1, Real Madrid 0. A goal in the first 15 minutes of this match. Gonzalo Escalante, a fine save from Thibaut Courtois. It was Alvaro Ardiazola, the right back, who got just tongue-tied more than anything else. He couldn't really get his feet sorted out, so probably not tongue-tied, more of his feet tied. Couldn't get it rid of it. And in the end, Escalante nipped in, bundled the ball home to give Eibar a well-deserved lead. They've been good value for that lead after that opening 45 minutes. As for England, no early kickoffs in the Premier League. There is an early kickoff in the Championship. It's 19th place Rotherham United taking on 5th place Sheffield United. 20 minutes gone in that one. It is Rotherham 0, Sheffield United 1. Mark Duffy on the score sheet for Chris Wilder's men. They have recovered from a slow start to this campaign, have Sheffield United. A victory today and they could go back to the top of the table for a few hours at the very least. And up in Scotland, the early kickoff, it is top of the table Celtic taking on 10th place Hamilton Academical, and I can tell you it's Hamilton 0, Celtic 1. 23 minutes on the clock at New Douglas Park, and it's the man of the moment, a man who has taken his opportunity with both hands after being promoted to the Celtic starting lineup a few weeks back. He started both games for Scotland as well in the international break. That is Ryan Christie, son of Charlie Christie, former Inverness Caledonian Thistle manager. It is he that has scored the opening goal after 30 minutes. It's Hamilton 0, Celtic 1.
Loads of rugby for you throughout the afternoon and into the evening as well. There is a game underway as we speak in the Guinness Pro 14, just the one game in the Guinness Pro 14. Cheetahs taking on Benetton at the moment. It is Benetton, visiting side down in South Africa, who lead the Cheetahs by 8-7. Three games kicking off in the Gallagher Premiership in the next 10 minutes. Exeter against Gloucester, Sale against Northampton, and Wasps against Bristol. But a number of those teams will be without their internationals because it's the final weekend of the autumn internationals. All the action gets underway at 6 o'clock local time here in the UAE. Italy against New Zealand, that'll be available down here at Barassi from 6 if you want to watch it. Equally, you'll be able to pick up Scotland against Argentina. That one is at 6:30 this evening. And then England against Australia at 7 o'clock. And again, it's been a week, hasn't it, of Eddie Jones sort of rubbing people up the wrong way. He's an abrasive so-and-so, isn't he, eh?
He certainly is, Tom. He's Marmite, isn't he? You either love him or you hate him, and I expect a big performance. I think England need a big performance. They weren't great. Okay, they beat Japan, but you know, we're into the stretch now where we're 11 months out from a Rugby World Cup. Performances matter, momentum matters, players just confidence and knowledge that they can go and beat the very best. It's all on the line. Australia, they've had their problems this week as well. Curtly Beale up to his old tricks again.
What's going on there? Yeah.
A weird one that. Yeah. He and Ashley, the double barreled name, Cooper.
Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, Ashley Cooper. Can't remember. I'll get his double-barreled surname. But he and Curtly Beale up to no good. And I found this interesting because during midweek, the Australian boys, they have a policy that no outside influences are allowed in the team hotel. Nobody that perhaps hasn't been signed off, etc. Three ladies popped into the Curtly Beale and Cooper.
Adam Ashley Cooper.
Ashley Cooper, that's the one. Beale and Ashley Cooper's suite. It turns out, I think Ashley Cooper, it was his sister-in-law and two other females. Anyway, I found this interesting, Tom. It wasn't the coaching staff that were made aware of it. It was the players, and the players, for want of a better word, daubed them in. They approached the coaching staff to say, hey, this has been going on. It's against protocol. It's against the rules. And Michael Checa and his coaching staff, they made the decision to axe them from this game. So if you think England have got problems, Australia definitely have problems. They've lost 8 of their last 12 tests. They're in disarray, to be quite honest with you. And, you know, I'm a little surprised Michael Checa. I really have. I know he's got a lot of goodwill. He took them to the last Rugby World Cup final. But massively surprised that he is still in a job. And it may come down to the fact there's just no other options in Australian rugby right now. But they've got problems. Problems. Coming back to Eddie Jones, yes, he rubs people up the wrong way, and I guess that's partly why so many of us are enamoured by him, because he doesn't give, and I'll leave that other word out.
It's it's a weird one, this the Curtly Beale, Adam Ashley Cooper, because the team need the experience at the moment. They've lost David Bocock. He's not recovered from that injury. No. So losing your captain and your sort of talisman at the back of your scrum. By sort of standing down Beale and Ashley Cooper, two of the most experienced of players in that squad as well, is he not sort of shooting himself in the foot?
A little, but I think Michael Checa, if he was here, would argue that discipline and all of that, what the I guess code of conduct is more important. That there's a set rules. Whenever you pull on the Wallabies jersey, you've got to adhere to a set of rules, and they've flagrantly broken those rules. And it was Michael Hooper, the captain, in actual fact, who was made aware of it. He then took the news to Michael Checa. Cheka, and between him, the leadership group, and Cheka and his coaching staff, they've made this decision. Yeah. So, you know, I kind of applaud it in many respects. Yes, you're right, Tom, they've shot themselves in the foot. They've lost two talented individuals, two hugely experienced individuals, but they're doing it for the good of the team long term. You know, rules are in place for a certain reason, and you got to pat Michael Cheka. I'm not his biggest fan, by the way. If you say Eddie Jones rubs people up the wrong way, Michael Cheka is boorish, for want of a better word. He really is, and he's made that decision. I applaud him for it. I have great respect for him for making that decision, and now he's got to fire up two boys who are champing at the bit to get their opportunities in place of Beale and Ashley Cooper. It's up to them now to go out there and perform, and who knows, if they perform at a good level and maybe Australia shock England today, then currently Beale and Ashley Cooper might find it very tough to get back into that starting 15.
It's live from 7 o'clock and we will be watching on with interest because it's also the return, hopefully, for a long while. It would be nice to see him get a bit of game time for England. He's been good for Leicester this season. I'm talking about Manu Tuilagi, who's back in the England centre. England need him as well at the moment, because that's a problem area for England.
I'm massively with you on that. What's up with Jonathan Joseph as well? Is he still injured?
Long-term recovery from the broken leg, wasn't it?
So, yeah. When you look at your centres there, Ben Teo, you've got, I like Henry Slade, I'm a big fan of he, but yeah, massively, Manu Tuilagi, a fit Manu Tuilagi is a wrecking machine, and he's a wrecking ball, and if he does stay fit, he's got 10 months to prove himself to Eddie Jones. Discipline is an issue there for him, we know that, but if he can stay fit, there's no doubt in my mind a fit Manu Tuilagi walks into that England team, and he could be the X factor ahead of a World Cup. You know, he could be the difference between a quarter-final, a semi-final exit, and England reaching a final and reaching the promised land. He is that good, but he needs to stay fit, and that's been his big Achilles heel over the past few years, where he's got a run, he's got a momentum, England's come calling, and he's broken down again, so he needs to sort that. But yeah, great to see him back, and let's hope he gets some minutes later this evening.
There is plenty of other rugby as well. It's not just about that England-Australia game. That's off at 7 o'clock. Straight after that, 9:20 this evening, local time, Wales against South Africa. That one will be a cracker. Ireland against the United States. Ireland putting out their C team, I think, in that particular one a little later on. And why on earth why are they playing the United States in Ireland when they were in the United States playing someone else a couple of weeks ago?
I queried that and asked the same question. A bit bizarre, that. I get they've climbed Everest last week by beating the All Blacks, but with all due respect to the US of A, it's not just a bit of a kind of farce.
Well, especially when you are standing down so many of the team that started against the All Blacks as well. To take nothing away from the US, who've been, you know, breaking their own sort of borders in terms of international rugby at the moment, not just through the sevens but also 15.
No, you're right. I guess I'm probably being too harsh to Roscoe's team there, but for Ireland, I guess for Joe Schmidt, he's looking at it, as you say, not to be disrespectful, rolling out the C team, but again, it's an opportunity for one or two boys to show that they deserve a place on the plane over to Japan for that Rugby World Cup finals, because it's the thing we've said all the time, isn't it, Tom? Whenever we talk about who can end the All Blacks, I guess, monopoly of that the Webb Ellis Cup, the Rugby World Cup, who can end it? We've always said for Ireland, for Wales, for Scotland, they've not got the depth, they've not got the strength and depth. This is a chance for one or two of the younger boys in Ireland to say, hey, we are capable, that if you need us, we're capable of stepping in during a Rugby World Cup finals.
And then the other game later on, just after midnight, is France against Fiji. We're going to take a short break. Qualifying is about to get underway down. In fact, qualifying has got underway down the road in Abu Dhabi. We'll have updates throughout the next hour. And of course, all the latest from the world of US sport.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.